Holy Family Radio, and the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference now present Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza.
Hello again, my friends, and welcome to another edition of Catholic Legislative Talk. I'm Al Ganoza with the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. Got a couple of interviews with some friends of mine. First one is with U.S. Representative Scott Perry. Congressman Scott Perry, 10th District. Good to see you again.
Great to see you, Al.
How you doing?
And I mean that. Great to see you.
Thank you, and likewise.
Yeah. I'm happy to know that you're doing well. You've always been, I've always been a fan and an admirer. I know you know that because I told you that, but it is really great to see you, and it's great to see you with the Catholic Church.
Oh, thank you, and it's definitely mutual. Always, I couldn't wait to come in here and see you again, and you look great.
Well, listen,
you look healthy, man.
We are blessed, right? We might think we have problems. We live in America. And God has blessed us and blessed this nation, and you got to remember that every single day, right? We all have problems, but it could be a lot worse, and there's a lot of people around the world that are struggling mightily.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody should have that kind of perspective.
Yeah.
But you do have issues to deal with down there.
Absolutely.
Boy, we could start anywhere. What about the spending, and specifically the cost of health care?
Well, spending, let's talk about spending in general. We have things called budget caps, and they are statutory, which means they're in law, which means we can't spend more than this. We all agreed to that. The Congress agreed, the President agreed, signed the bill, we have a spending cap. Well, we decided, because revenues are up, right, we did this Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which has more people working, right, so there's more revenue coming into the federal government. Now the federal government wants to spend more money because it never wants to take care of the bills it's already made appropriately, at least that's my opinion. So the leaders in the Senate and the House put together a spending package that blew apart the caps, essentially broke the law, said we're just going to spend more than that, and they put it on the floor. And of course, their answer was, well, we either do this or we have a fight over a shutdown. And when you have Speaker Pelosi in the House, and unfortunately members of the Senate who agree on that, the President has nowhere to go because he has no allies, right? He's all by himself. And of course, we already went through one of these shutdown things, and it didn't work out so well. So unfortunately, I have to vote no on that because I didn't get sent to Washington, D.C. to bankrupt the country. But we're headed to $23 trillion in debt. And it just continues. So it's a concern for me, and I think it is a concern for a lot of Americans who say, how do you keep on spending money you don't have? How do you raid from different funds, including the Social Security Trust Fund, the interest on that? How do you expect China to keep an adversary of the United States to help finance this unbridled spending that we have? So that's part of it. But then, of course, like you said, healthcare spending, people are very concerned because the cost of they might have coverage, healthcare coverage, but when you have somewhere between a $6,000 and $15,000, you're making $17 an hour, and you're paying $1,000 a month for coverage for your family, and maybe more, and then you got somewhere between a $6,000 and $15,000 deductible. Like, you have coverage, but by the time you pay the bill, you're making choices. Of whether you make the car payment, whether you take a family vacation, whether you pay your children's tuition, or whether you deal with the healthcare issue that you have. One thing in particular we're working on, prescription drug prices, particularly insulin, the price has really skyrocketed. We know about these rebates that come from the drug manufacturer, but it never seems to get to the customer, to the consumer. We want to figure all that out, figure out where that money's going, why the cost is so high, why aren't there generics, why is it no longer affordable. Again, insulin is different than a lot of prescription drugs in that you need it on a regular basis to maintain your life. And you shouldn't be making decisions, well, I'm not going to take my insulin today because I can't afford it because I need to buy dinner for my kids. That's an unacceptable circumstance. So that's one of the things that we in our office are particularly working on.
Now, if people say, hey, don't you control the spending? Well, you guys don't control the House anymore, do you?
Well, we don't. Speaker Pelosi is in charge. Look, and these bills originate in the House, but you're one of 435, right? So you say your piece, which I do. We're spending money we don't have. I can't support this bill in its current form. If we're going to spend more here, show me where the savings is over there. Like, it might not be perfect, but at least I can be for something because we got to continue to operate the country. But when they offer nothing, Well, this is what they offered. So that to be absolutely legitimate, they said, we're going to spend all this extra money now. The savings come in year 8 and 9. Well, you know the deal. Year 8 and 9 never happened. I mean, you know, you might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night, right? So it's still something I can't support. Like I said, I don't think my constituents sent me there to bankrupt the country. So you want to be reasonable and find some way to get to yes and a solution. And so you offer, look, if you're going to increase spending over here, then let's see what else we can do over here to balance the budget, just like you do in your home. But when no one wants to agree to that and they say, well, look, we have the votes, we're just going to spend it, you know, all you can do is vote no and register your discord and your disagreement with bankrupting the country and hope that your constituents say, yeah, that's what I would have done too.
What about immigration? I know that seems to be... you guys have discussed that on occasion.
On occasion. It is a huge issue. And I think a lot of times people might think that, well, it's happening over there. Or maybe it's not even happening at all. I just don't see it here. I want you to know that the last stat I looked at, and I think this is a couple years old now, so it needs to be refreshed, but it cost Pennsylvania $1.3 billion annually for illegal foreign nationals and the services that they use in Pennsylvania. 1.3. So you think, when you think maybe your property taxes are too high, what could the state do if we just get, what could you do? What could consumers do and citizens with $1.3 billion extra dollars that they don't have to send to the state? But immigration, let's be clear, because we say illegal immigration, but it's not really immigration. Immigration is legal, right? If you come to the country, you immigrated, right? These are people coming across the border illegally between the ports of entry to the rate of about 5,000 per day. And Congress is refusing to take up the issue. We have there's a big difference between the two parties. One wants open borders, quite honestly. That's just how it has to be described if you don't want any enforcement and you want anybody to come through. And the other wants to reform the system to make it easier to come in legally, but much more difficult to come in illegally. And so there's not a lot of middle ground there. And so nothing's happening, and the president is taking actions on his own, including inspiring the Mexican government to do more with their own southern border. And he's had some success with that, but this is an issue that affects every single American citizen, and we want to be benevolent, and we want to be caring of the people that want to come to our country and be Americans and enjoy the prosperity of America. But we have a system of laws that you can't just say, well, I don't like the law, so I'm not going to follow it. That doesn't work in any society. And we're the only country that allows this kind of carrying on. So unfortunately, I don't see a solution in sight anytime soon.
That has created a lot of rancor. There's a lot of rancor for a lot of reasons. What's it like? I mean, do you feel, when you're a person, do you feel a hostility down there?
It depends on, now this is fascinating because it depends on where you are. People might not know this, but there are multiple religious meetings throughout the week for members of Congress. Now, each one of us picks what works in your schedule and so on and so forth. I happen to go to the Thursday morning prayer breakfast, and it's bipartisan. And you wouldn't imagine how well we get along. We sit, Democrats and Republicans, we have great conversations, and then we leave, and then you kind of go out into the boxing ring. It almost seems like you're on the floor, and you're like, where's the person I was just sitting right next to, and we were getting along just fine, right? Now, that's true on the big issues, and it really is. But what you really don't see is a lot of the smaller underlying issues that we really do work on collaboratively together. And understand that you're working with a person on an issue that you find important, they find important. Meanwhile, they're trying to make sure you don't get reelected, and you might be working to make sure they don't get reelected. But for the sake of the country and the cause, you say, okay, we understand that's our role here politically, but professionally and officially, we're supposed to work together on trying to make this place a better world and a better country. And so that actually happens. You just don't hear about it too much.
Okay. One last question I can think, and I don't, we hear a lot about pro-life issues and abortion at the state level. Is that something you guys are dealing with now or not?
Yeah, of course it is. Well, it's constantly. So we have... brought up the Born Alive bill over and over and over again, trying to force the majority to take a vote on it, because we feel fairly certain that if we can get a vote on it, it will pass. And even if it doesn't pass, I think it's important for constituents to know that their member of Congress either supports saving a child who survived an abortion or doesn't agree with saving a child who has survived an abortion, and constituents, citizens, our bosses need to know where we stand on that. And the only way to really be sure is to have that vote. So no, it's a constant issue that we keep bringing up because we think that life and the sanctity of life, especially innocent life, is so important. And when you look at the world today with mass shootings, when you look at 50 shootings in Chicago on an average weekend and things like that, where we don't seem to revere and respect life anymore, this is exactly where we need to start and say, no, life really is important, and we need to say it's important and safeguard it, especially the most innocent among us. And so we cannot and we will not let it go.
Wow, so a lot of pro-choicers are afraid to be labeled as such, is that?
Well, look, I don't know what their rationale is for not bringing the bill to the floor, but we just continue to use every tool we have, which they're limited in the minority, but to keep bringing it back up and putting it in front of them and say, please provide the opportunity. Your constituents want to know. Our constituents want to know. If you're pro-abortion, okay. But own that and let's vote on it. So your constituents, we're already telling everybody where we are. We're happy to tell everybody. You should do the same thing.
Congressman Scott Perry, that's great. Anything else you want to add? Or
listen, we do live in acrimonious times. In the past, we had disagreements as neighbors, as friends, as community members, but we could still sit down, have a glass of iced tea and a hamburger or a beer or what have you, and have a conversation. I disagree with you on that, but we were all in this together. And I hope that at some point we can kind of get back. It doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, want to get married to each other or live in the same home or whatever, but that we can get to a level of civility that we had in the past. We can still disagree, but we're all in this together. This is our country, and it's a wonderful, blessed nation, and we ought to do what we can to preserve it.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words.
Always. No. It's great to see you. And
absolutely.
I mean that.
Always a pleasure. Yeah.
Hi, this is Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. If you enjoy our programming efforts, I'm asking you to please consider supporting us financially with a modest ongoing donation of just $15 a month. If each of our listeners were able to make that minimal monthly commitment, we would be able to make the technical adjustments necessary to provide a bigger and better signal, which would ensure access to the only local Catholic radio station throughout the Diocese of Harrisburg. Of course, any ongoing monthly commitment would be welcome, but if you can afford at least $15 a month, we will send you a free ticket to next year's benefit dinner on April 24th, 2020. If you can help us, please go to the Holy Family Radio website at www.720whyf.com. That's 720whyf.com. Click on Donate Now to make your safe and secure ongoing donation. Thank you, and may God bless you.
And welcome back, everyone. Have an interview also with an old friend of mine I knew from back in the days when I used to work in TV up in Allentown, and Gary Day was then working for the mayor of Allentown. He is now Representative Gary Day from the Lehigh Valley area. We sat down for a nice chat, and he's a lifelong Catholic and had some good perspective on how to get involved. Representative Gary Day, 187th District, thanks for having me up there. These are my old stomping grounds. In fact, you and I used to run into each other in Mayor Heights' office.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you being here, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. I mean, it's God's work, you know, when I think about it. And I think about the time we knew each other back then. Do you remember a guy named Al DiCarlo? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Super 2?
Did for radio.
I used to tease him when he would come to interview me, and I'd say, is your name Al Ganoza? Like, I'd always pretend it was you. And it was just to, like, play around and make fun with Al,
who's
still a friend today. He's doing some internet work as well with his job. So he's doing well, but going into this new media. So I really take my hat off to you. You're a consummate professional. I'm thrilled to be here with you today. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, first of all, I didn't know you were Catholic. So
yeah.
you explain your upbringing there, and it sounds like you're still involved.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I am. I probably, like many Catholics, I probably feel a little guilty that I could be more involved than I am. With my job, it's hard time-wise to be involved, so I try to get involved in the things that I'm really good at. And I would recommend any Catholics, any Christians, get involved with your parish, with your church, and try to just give that little bit. And that's what I try to do. So I try to talk to people about the value proposition of being involved, talk to people about how our church gives us opportunities to be Christ-like. And that's what we have about 30 committees at our church, active committees. That's a lot for a Catholic church or any church. And I'm proud of the work of each one. Now, I can't sit on each one of those committees. So I sit on one or two committees that I think I can make a difference on. And that's pretty much what I do. I was raised, my mom was Catholic. My dad was not, but he was always very supportive of us learning the teachings of the Catholic Church. And I try to use everything that we've learned to be the best version of myself and try to help other people, and my job is state representative.
Wow, and you're big on pro-life issues then, too.
I am. Some people, I kind of mentioned to you when I saw you before, some people try to, are really out front on the issue, and they're on the front page of the newspaper, or they're giving press releases every day about it. I'm kind of like that Energizer bunny behind, or the guy, the donut guy, time to make the donuts. Just getting up and going to work and doing the things that push it along in Harrisburg. If you can imagine, whatever you or any of your viewers, whatever you do for a living, there's an internal structure that you have to work through to get things done. Well, in Harrisburg, everybody can imagine the political nature of Harrisburg. People like look down on that, but it's actually a very positive thing because it brings people that represent, there's 203 of us who represent 12 million people. So 203 is nothing compared to 12 million people. So people say, how do you get along with 203? Well, actually, we don't get along, all of us. But we try to. We try to get to know each other, work with each other. And that's what I do with the pro-life issues. I think during my career, we made a substantial change taking the abortion issue from being able to do it before 24 weeks down to 20 weeks. And I think that was one of the main things that we've done in Harrisburg. One of the big leaders on anti-abortion, pro-life issues, is Representative Kathy Rapp. She's a chairman now, and Kathy works very hard. Now we have many newer members than her that are working on it as well, and just have very strong convictions on that's kind of something that shouldn't be going on in Pennsylvania. Now, we have to wrestle with the Supreme Court ruling that we're all living under since 1973, and we have to wrestle with that and within the confines of the federal framework and structure of the law. And we do that, and we do that well. And we took advantage of, things came to light a few years ago with a Philadelphia clinic that was really not performing everything within the realm of the law, and we took advantage of that in a way that everybody was on board with cleaning up those things. So that's another thing that we do in the pro-life community in the legislature, and we try to work on those things. And then anybody who opposes a pro-life stance usually talks about a woman's individual right, and I think this is one of the clashes in our government structure of individual rights. I think you end up with when two beings are inextricably physically tied together, and the livelihood, the actual life of one is dependent on the other, well, that's when two individual rights can conflict. And it's up to government to make that decision on where is the line to protect that one life. But also, the other side would talk about the right of the mother as well. So I don't want to get anybody too upset about these words that I'm using, but I'd like to explain what we're faced with. I think most of your viewers and I probably hold very, the same opinions of this, and I just like to share with them how we work through it and what we're up against out in Harrisburg.
Well, thank you for that. You're doing God's work.
Sorry for the long answer.
No, though. It was good. It was well thought out.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, on a pretty much different subject, your another bill you're working on is with water.
Right. So I thought, I want to talk about some of the legislation that I'm working on. So in my district, I have two bottled water companies. I have Nestle Bottled Water Company, and I have Niagara. And both of them, I do tours of businesses, and mostly why I'm going out to these tours, and I did a lot over the summer, mostly why I'm going out there is I want to know everything I can about each one of these companies. I want to know how many employees do they have. Is their company, you know, their national company, are they looking at making, bringing a corporate headquarters somewhere? Are we in competition with Atlanta, and I don't even know about it? So I want to know about these things. I want to bring, you know, those jobs to the Lehigh Valley, particularly 187th District. But if they can't be in my district, if they're in the Lehigh Valley, they'll be for people in my district to go to those jobs. Mm-hmm. If they're in Pennsylvania, they'll help overall the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So even if we don't get it, but Pittsburgh does, it's not going to make a direct impact on us, but it's going to make an indirect impact on us by strengthening Pennsylvania. So I'm out there talking to people, and when I was out there talking to different companies, the one bottled water company said, do you realize we have an overlap where the Department of Agriculture inspects us and the Department of DEP, the Environmental Resources, ERE, Environmental Resources is our committee. The Department of Environmental Protection, Pennsylvania, is the governor's administrative arm. They're the people who actually inspect. But there was an overlap. So one of the things that I'm working on is trying to get through to relieve that overlap. So what the company was going through is that two different organizations were checking for similar components. So what we're going to do is we're going to say the Department of Environmental Resources will inspect everything from when they draw water out of the ground at a well or at a municipal facility to when they plug in and pump the water into the manufacturing facility. It's a line of demarcation where you actually put the water in. And then the Department of Ag, who many people might not know, but the Department of Agriculture inspects retail food for safety for the people. So you want them, because the water is going to be consumed by people, you want them to regulating and inspecting. So they're going to pick up from where the water comes in through where the water goes out in bottles. Hope that makes sense.
Well, you're streamlining, you're cutting down on waste in government.
Exactly. Kind of. I mean, it should be, a lot of times you'll see where one department will say, well, I want to keep my kingdom of what, and keep that realm of influence as large as possible. And that's okay. They can look at life that way. Ag can look at life that way. But I think it's our job. We're almost like a board of directors in a lot of ways to direct general policy. You have two different groups looking at it like this. Once that overlaps, then it's wasteful. And then we're paying two different organizations to do the same thing. That's not fair to the third group, the taxpayers, and that's who's footing the bill.
Okay. And Gary, we were talking earlier. You said you wanted to make a point. And when you get call.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I didn't wreck everything.
Oh no.
I apologize
for
that.
That's okay.
That's so unprofessional of me. I apologize to your viewers.
I that's okay. They're used to me, and I'm unprofessional all the time.
That is not true. That is not true.
Thank you.
Anyway, so yeah, I had talked to you before, and one of the things I want people to know, and I guess I'll share it with everybody what I said. When I was younger, I didn't see the battle. I knew it was there. Luckily, through our Catholic faith, we were taught about the battle between good and evil. And I think that being, stories, the Bible, stories out of the Bible, like stay in your mind, and then you can start recognizing these battles that are out there. And let me tell you, and your viewers should know, they should be active. They should be involved. I'm not going to tell them what to do. I'm not going to tell them, most of the time a politician says, and we just saw the governor in Philadelphia yesterday, this is what we should do. And it was all the people from the same party. It's not real profound to stand in a room full of people who agree with you and say, let's charge up this hill. That's not being a statesman. Being a statesman is working with people from both sides. We're all human beings. We're all God's children. And what I see is there's an extreme battle out there. And if your listeners and your viewers are doing anything, reading the newspaper, listening to your radio program, other programs, listening and watching on television, looking on the internet, and seeing what's going on, it's right before us. The battle's right before us. So if anybody has any misconceptions that there's nothing wrong and there's no battle, it's just because some of us are fighting and holding off, you know, I don't want to say the enemy. I try not to be too stark in my stories, but the battle is there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask your viewers to just get involved. I want to spur them to be involved, and I trust them to decide what is right and wrong. Hey, listen, I don't agree with everybody in my church, right? I sit with them in Sunday Mass, and I know, I see some of them who come and argue with me all the time on political issues. But I still trust them because they're involved and they're engaged. Any person who gets involved and engaged and has, you know, goodness in their heart probably has the right answer or part of the right answer. And our democracy here in Pennsylvania allows them to participate wherever they are. If they're in my district, they can help me. I'm not asking them to help me. I'm asking them to get involved. If they're in another district and they don't know who to help and they want to call me on my call out and say, well, what do I do? Well, tell them to send me an email and I'll help them get involved. And many times I'll have a student that says, you know, they have a complete different political ideology, but I'll still bring them in as an intern, right? And when they'll sit there and they'll say to me, they'll say, well, why are you doing this? And they're completely opposite to what I'm doing, but I still give them the opportunity. A couple of years ago, a woman came in and said, I think what your leadership is doing is wrong. And I said, well, I agree with my leadership on this. So I differed with a constituent. But I said to her, but here's what you would do if you disagree. You'd go to here and you'd put your testimony in. You'd go here, you'd go here. Eventually you can take it into the courts and eventually go to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. She did and she won. So I was wrong by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's viewpoint.
But you did the right thing.
Hey, thanks again, everybody, for joining in, listening to us. Have a great week. God bless. Take care.
You've been listening to Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza, a service of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and Holy Family Radio.